All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this session of the Fit 40 Strong Summit. I'm your host, Dawn Terwilliger, and I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to chat with our very special guest today. Christy Frank is a women's health, fitness, and business expert who gained national attention as one of the breakout stars from the first season of Donald Trump's hit TV show, The Apprentice. Since then, she's appeared on Oprah, MSNBC, The View, The Today Show, Entertainment Tonight, that was a good one, The Howard Stern Show, that must have been a little challenging, I have to say, and numerous magazine covers. Christy's also a mom. I understand your son's name is Ty, is that right?
Yeah, it's Tyler.
Tyler, great. And over 40, she's had to face many opportunities and many of the same struggles and challenges many of us face as we mature. You know, age does set in from time to time. You know, it's just going to happen.
Shoot.
She is currently following her entrepreneurial spirit in several business endeavors, now combining health, fitness, and weight loss with her upcoming launch, Mommy Body Makeover, the highly acclaimed weight loss program for women. And she also has a position as the celebrity publisher of Losing It magazine. Christy, thank you so much for taking the time to share your experience and wisdom with the Fit 40 Strong audience today.
I'm so glad to be here, Dawn. Thanks for having me.
Great. So a lot of our listeners, there goes my phone. Don't you know you should always put that on pause? Well, I didn't. So, you know, just a little jingle from time to time isn't too bad, is it? I'm sure our listeners are already familiar with you, but I'm betting most of them aren't familiar with your journey. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how all of this started and how you wound up as an entrepreneur in the health, fitness, and weight loss space. And business space too.
Yeah. So when I started out, and I'm rewinding back to college, I started out at USC in exercise science. And I did that because it was my passion. I read nutrition books for fun. I was into, you know, exercise and helping people. But after that first year, my family looked at me and said, "What are you doing?" You know, I come from a family of engineers and lawyers and doctors. So they kind of made fun of me, which is really sad.
Yeah.
And I switched. And they didn't understand. I came from a family that didn't quite get it. And I was too young to probably explain it all to them. But I transferred into industrial engineering and went away from, you know what? Yeah, that was their language.
Yeah.
And I graduated, I pushed through. But the good thing about that is it led me up to an entrepreneurial path where I probably needed to be pushed into anyway. And then I went into real estate and I started a raw foods restaurant in Santa Monica, California, which was just an incredible journey. And that was along the path of learning more about health and nutrition. And as my restaurant got pretty popular, we were on the cover of Time magazine. We had a lot of press because it was so unique. The apprentice auditions came around. And after 6 months of having my restaurant, I was called away to New York and I appeared on that first season.
Nice.
Long story short, you know, I mean, amazing journey. Crazy that Donald Trump is in the news everywhere right now. I mean, it's quite a story. That's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, I was following my business path and I thought I would continue on that road. And once I got pregnant and it was after the show, I decided I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And I was immersed in speaking for a lot of internet marketers and realized that I want to stay home and I want to do something I'm crazy in love with. And I love working with women and I love health, fitness, and nutrition. So it kind of was a perfect fit. And it feels interesting after that whole journey through my life, I come back to my roots and to back to something I truly love. So I feel blessed and I'm glad that I went through this journey, but you know, I'm where I'm supposed to be now. So it's kind of neat.
That is an interesting evolution. And would you say that, you know, you started off in the field that you felt the closest to, that you had the most passion and you wanted to explore. And then when your family questioned that, it's almost like you or trying to serve them in that sense, to go off and do the engineering. Would you find that to be true?
Good. Excellent point. And I think that's something, when I look back, being a woman, I think somewhere along the line, I was taught to please people. And it's not something my mom told me or that my dad told me. I think it was just as a culture, that's what women are, you know, are there. And I think it's completely changing. In fact, someone who I was on the show with, she wrote a book about how to speak up. Mm-hmm. And it's funny you bring up that point, because the reason I was fired off the show was that I didn't speak up for myself. I thought people would know all the good things about me. I thought people would internally just, oh, well, of course she's doing a great job. Yeah. But when you are a woman in business, men do, and I'm going to use this word, but they do brag and they do tout about their accomplishments. And it's kind of just how they interact. Women, we tend to bond on our on our problems. Oh my gosh, I feel so fat today. Oh, I didn't work out today. I feel, you know, I mean, things that we're having problems with, we tend to bond with our stories. So it was a big lesson about kind of, you can't always be your natural self. Sometimes you need to step out of that role and do, you know, what's best in the role you're in. And I learned that women probably need to stand up and speak their truth and think of themselves as possibly more important and tout their accomplishments.
So, you know, I find that interesting. You know, I've had those similar experiences, and it seems that, you know, women do follow that path where they'll belittle themselves, not so much to, you know, say I'm good. They don't want to put that out there, you know, because then they're like, well, people would be jealous of me, or I want to play on that even playing field with other women. Where you're right, with guys, it's more of that you know, I'm bold, abroad of you know, going head to head, and they want to feel that competition. Well, with women, competition, we've been sort of taught culturally that's kind of a bad thing.
So true. And you would never, I mean, Dawn, I was taught in first grade, you never brag about yourself. I mean, so, you know, it's something that I think is changing. I think the roles are becoming more equal, but I think it's a big lesson for women to learn that to get ahead and to really get what you want, you really need to say it. So, it's something interesting. Yes. And to yourself too, you need to, you know, think of yourself, you know, in good light and put yourself first.
You're right. Would you say this has been an epiphany for you since you've turned 40, or is this something that you've kind of learned along the way?
And I love that you're doing over 40, because there's that magic change, and it doesn't happen at 40, or I think it happened for me about 41, 40, I'm 43 right now. I think 42 was like, oh no, it's here.
Yeah.
No, but I think the journey is still happening, and I don't think a light bulb went on and I started taking care of myself first. I mean, especially when you have a family and you have kids, everybody seems to take, you know, I mean, that's part of the problem of losing weight when you're a mom. It seems like you take care of everyone else first. Yeah. You know, if I'm up, my son gets his breakfast, my husband gets his breakfast, and then I'm like, oh yeah, running out the door, I forgot to eat. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that is a great reminder, and I think as you get older, you probably get more comfortable speaking out. And I have gotten better and better, but I'm definitely not where, you know, I'm not at that magic perfect point. So it's a journey in process, and I think that's kind of it's a good thing. You know, even this conversation is a good reminder.
It is. And I think, you know, us as women, kind of during this coffee talk that we're having, we should have more of this conversation between women and feel open with each other to share some more vulnerabilities. I don't really feel, even with, you know, some of my own, you know, gal pals, we don't share enough vulnerabilities because we're afraid of looking weak, maybe. So, you know, I don't know if you've had that experience.
I've been so fortunate, and I actually have the other side of the story. I have a great group of girls. A friend of mine started it before I even moved. I'm here in Park City. Before I moved here, and they call it a meditation group. And we meditate for 15 to 20 minutes, and it's once a week. And then afterwards, we go around the circle and we talk and we say, okay, this is good and here's the bad stuff. And typically it's the bad stuff. But what's really interesting, Dawn, is these women aren't my social friends. These women, I know so much deep stuff about, and we're bonded in that way, but I don't know socially them at all. So they're not my typical friends, but they're like soul sisters. Yeah. So I feel like I'm so blessed to have that outlet. But you're right, in my social circle, no, probably they don't know all my deepest, darkest secrets. So interesting. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that's so important for really anyone to kind of have maybe a group of five people that are in your tribe that necessarily aren't in your social circles, because then, you know, and they're from all walks of life, you know, different industries and different economic status. And it's just kind of like maybe meeting up with people at the DMV would help. I don't know. you kind of have one of these like meditative, which I think is such a, you know, you come out of the world and into this space where you could just clear everything. And then when you can talk, I think this is such a great example that a lot of people should bring on into their life.
Yeah, and I remember the first big experience that I had with that was being a mom, because you're very isolated. My son was a preemie, and I think I was home alone with my kid being really, you know, really, really tiny by myself for about 6 months. And I just thought I was going crazy. I thought, you know, oh my gosh. And when I did start to talk to other moms, you realize, wow, it's a universal condition. And I think you have that with women. You know, wow, this problem I'm having, whatever it is, there's other people like me. There's other people struggling with the same exact thing. Yeah. You know, the human condition, we all have a lot of the similar problems. And you go, wow, it's not just me. You know, okay, now I feel like I have a little more power over it. I'm not the crazy one. You know, we're all going through this. So I think you're right. I think, you know, everyone needs kind of that outlet.
I think that's a great idea. I'm going to have to.
And I'm going to jump in there and say, yeah. And sometimes you think your husband can do that. I don't, I've had a hard time. I think my sister said, you know, it's not, your husband is not supposed to be your best friend. And, you know, yes, you are, of course. But some of those deep, dark female things that we need to discuss, men don't really get it. You know, they want to help us. They want to fix it. But they, you know, and they're there to listen. But it really helps to have another woman to talk to.
That's interesting, because I've had the opposite experience. I've been very, very fortunate to share time. We work together, we train together, our desks are side by side with Tom, and I feel very comfortable to be that vulnerable with him, and I think he allows me the space. Of course, it's taken several years for us to know, you know, how to play with each other when it gets into those vulnerable spaces, but he really has been extremely supportive to me during those vulnerable times, and, you know, I've been honest with him in that, saying, wait a minute, you're not going the right direction. And he hasn't taken offense when I say that, which is helpful.
That is beautiful. And that's another class you guys should do, is kind of that communication during marriage and, you know, the coupling and teaching that. I think that would be great.
That would be cool. That would be cool. So let me tell you, let me ask you this, as far as, you know, you've grown and matured along with your son, because, you know, they go through these stages and you think you got it figured out. And then all of a sudden he matures in his brain development and his body development. It's like, wait, what just happened? Right. How have you grown then, not only as a mom, but also as a person, to make your son better?
Wow. And it's so true. You know, the minute you think you've got it figured out and things are going smoothly is when, you know, he changes and I change. For me, parenting is just a journey into getting better and bigger and more lessons. My son, you know, they always say you get what you need. My son knows how to push my buttons better than anyone else. And so it's, And he's almost, I mean, he has so many similarities, but he's a completely opposite. So it's so challenging, and it's kind of a lesson into, you know, controlling yourself and learning lessons for yourself. And, you know, when he pushes my buttons, my journey has been, how do I not respond and how do I be the adult here? And it's so challenging.
And that's reaction.
And, you know,
yes.
It's so, yeah, and how, and that helps along, you know, with every aspect of your life, how to control those outbursts. And, you know, I'm a very passionate person, so he can really get me. And the other thing, I think, dealing with health and fitness, that's been so hard, is I am very strict with my diet. I don't eat sugar. I stay away from dairy and wheat. You know, I love fruits and vegetables, and I tend to go more that way. My son is a sugar junkie. Mm. And because of everything that I know about sugar and how, you know, I don't want to say harmful, but possibly harmful it is.
It has been so much. Yes.
Yeah. So it's been such a hard thing, because it would be easy for me to ban sugar from my house, but then you turn it into a war and a battle and a rebellion. And I constantly have to be reminded that there is a happy medium, that, you know, my role with him now is, if you eat a big healthy thing, a good meal, then you can have your sugar. And over the years, I've had to kind of navigate and go, you know, negotiate. He's a great negotiator. And it's been challenging, because at my core belief, I believe something, one thing, but then I have to realize he's his own individual and he has to go through his own journey. And, you know, so that has been something really interesting. And, you know, there again, it's the struggle and walking the path. And some days I'm great, and some days I totally screw up and I get upset because he, you know, had dessert for breakfast or whatever. But it's been, you know, I think what I learned out of all of that is, even though I have such a strong conviction, that I really have to let that all go and let him be him, and for the sense of a peace in the house and laughter in the house, it's way better for me to let my position go. And I think that's a huge life lesson for me too.
That is huge. Now, for you personally, you said you were very dedicated. You don't have sugar. You stay away from wheat and dairy. So what has, you know, developed this ritual or program for you to stay on this path, to be so disciplined? What is your driving factor?
It started early on. I was really interested in health and nutrition, and I guess it was just in me. But when I had the raw foods restaurant, that was a real eye-opener in terms of what happened to my body. I used to, you know, when I was in college, we used to drink Diet Coke for lunch and beef jerky. You know, we'd try and stay thin, and we'd eat diet products and, you know, whatever we could to lose weight. But it was all processed chemicals. And so, you know, I didn't feel very good. I didn't have any energy. And when I opened up the restaurant, it's all healthy, uncooked fruits, vegetables. There's no meat, and it's not cooked. And I'm not saying that that's how to live. In fact, I don't eat 100% raw, and that wasn't the perfect diet for me. But what happened was, for the first time in my life, I didn't crave food. For the first time in my life, I didn't have to count calories. I didn't have to worry about that. You know, if I eat nuts, I'm going to gain weight. It didn't happen. For the first time in my life, I felt free, like I can enjoy my food. And I think that taught me more, and I've been studying more about compulsions and cravings, and food actually is very addictive. So for me, I know that about myself. Some people can eat a piece of bread at you know, dinner, and with a fresh bread, and have one, and that's it. For me, it was like the loaf. You know what I mean? I can't. It was hard for me, because, you know, one, my son had Oreos the other day, and I saw him in the cupboard, and he came out, and he had eaten like half the pack. And I looked at him, and I said, "Tyler," and he looked at me, and he was like sad faced. He said, "Mommy, I couldn't stop at just one." And I hugged him, and I said, "Baby, me too. I can't eat those." So, you know, that's where I think I learned, when I give up certain things, the foods that caused me cravings, the cravings truly went away. And that was a big help, you know, so that's a big key for my diet.
That's great. Well, I'd like to go and kind of change, you know, the course of questioning just a little bit. And I'm having debate with Tom and with Sean Phillips, you know, as far as the name of this line of questioning, and I like to call it rattle off. So it's kind of like a question game. So really whatever is, there's no wrong answer. I would hope that you would answer either short or long, whatever you feel is necessary. But you ready to play rattle off?
Fun, yes.
Right on. Okay, so first thing that comes to your mind, your best daily practice or ritual?
My hikes outside.
Uh-huh. Okay.
They're meditative, they're exercise, they put me in a happy state. You know, I crave them. They're great.
Excellent. Your favorite age-defying tip?
My age-defying tips?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Defying.
Okay. Well, here's a crazy one. Every morning I drink decaf coffee and I have a cup of maca tea. And I put the tea bag under my eyes because it's got caffeine. Uh-huh. And I rub it over my upper lip because it's, you know, caffeine is supposed to help with wrinkles and eye bags. So every morning I'm dabbing my tea bag on my face.
I love it. So if there was like a big sleepover or something, we wake up and you know, we're like, wait, where's Christy? Oh, she's under the tea bag.
she's got to do that.
Okay. And the last question is your best strategy for creative, positive, productive state. What's your best strategy?
So I like to go somewhere where there's very little noise and distraction. I like to have, you know, my green tea because it's caffeine and caffeine seems to ramp up that creative state. Yes. There's different things. That's if I was writing or working on a computer, I love doing it that way. If I'm in creating and vision and dreaming mode, I will go and hike. And you don't talk on the phone. You completely just unplug and you just let it go. And that seems to be a very easy way for me to come up with ideas.
I love it. Well, you've been through so much over the course of your young adult into your relenting generation age as you are right now. You know, so you've lived many different lives. What's next on your journey? What's happening for you?
Oh, I love that question. You know, Dawn, I'm right in the middle of, you know, my mommy body makeover has been just such a fun journey, and I'm right in the middle of just so enjoying this. So I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be right now and doing this, and I've been peeking my head up a little bit, but, you know, the next thing hasn't come. I was up for a mompreneur Shark Tank show that they're selling, and that would be just a lot of fun and incredible thing.
Fun.
So I think what I like to put out there is, you know, my little affirmations, you know, and this is crazy, but I'm going to actually let the secret out, but I like to say that miracles come to me, and I feel like in my life that's like a lot of miracles have come to me. So I think the next thing should be some fun, exciting journey and some miracle coming to me.
That's abundance right there. I mean, just allowing it in, but yet not expecting it to come. You're still working towards it and being open to it. That's great.
Exactly. And not saying exactly what it has to be, but being open to all the possibilities.
I think that's a great mindset to be in. And just cherish those opportunities when they come and say, you know what, I'm going to dive, I'm going to leap straight in and just let's find out what happens. I love it.
Perfect.
Well, that's about all the time we have for this session. I want to Thank you for your commitment to getting and staying fit with the Fit 40 and Strong Summit, and for joining us today. I also want to thank our special guest and my new best friend, Christy Frank, for taking the time and being so open and authentic with a crazy line of questioning that I just like to throw out. So Christy, do you have anything else that you'd like to add before we close out for this session?
No, and I think we need to do a meetup soon, and I'd love to hang and get to play with you a little more.
I love that.